A strong spirit will break all rules. Prince said that, and I think that is spot on.
G'day, crew. Welcome to the Hidden Why podcast, episode 391 with Pamela Gold. My name's Lee Martinuzzi, the host of the show, The Hidden Why Guy, here to inspire you to live your life with greater passion and purpose. To do that, I really believe we need to connect within. We need to discover our why and use that to guide our lives with more purpose towards more freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Now, today is a cracker of an interview, guys. I chat with Pamela Gold. It's a really beautiful conversation, very heartfelt, very endearing, a little bit spiritual, but valuable, very valuable. And I think if you're looking to create some more happiness, Pamela can certainly share a lot of value. A little bit of background about Pamela. She grew up on her family's apple farm in upstate New York. She graduated from Yale University and then entered the business world in New York City, where she was a point-to-point person in IPO at the age of 24. Not too long after that, she started a family and she also co-founded West Village Parents. She went on to pursue her passion for fitness and wellness, and that's when she discovered yoga. And this connected her with her love for philosophy, for science, for psychology, and overall wellness. And that led her to what she does now, which is her life's work, which is teaching inner peace. She has recently launched and published a book called Find More Strength, The Five Pillars to Unlock Unlimited Power and Happiness. And that is where we take this conversation today. It's a really beautiful conversation, a lot of great value, guys. I just would like to ask you, if you do enjoy it, then please connect with us at thehiddenwhy.com. Leave your comments in the show notes, episode 391, Pamela Gold. And also connect with Pamela. I'll put her links in there. They've set up a page particularly for us here at The Hidden Why. So it's in the show notes at thehiddenwhy.com. You'll find the link there. Also, guys, if you love this show, if you think it's of value, then share it with your family. Share the love. That would be muchly appreciated. You can also jump on iTunes if you haven't already yet left us a review, just to leave us a quick rating. It helps spread the message further, helps us reach more people. So it's just a 1 to 5 star rating and a quick comment or review there as well. Other than that, guys, I'd love to hear from you. I'll always love to connect with the listeners. If you have any questions directly for me or for the show, maybe some suggestions or feedback, certainly reach me anytime. My email address is not hidden. It is thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com, and that's available through thehiddenwhy.com as well. You can also reach me using Facebook and Twitter and some of the other social platforms as well. But email is probably the best method. That's it really, guys. I hope you enjoy this episode with Pamela Gold, and we will chat at the other end. Thank you. G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hidden Why podcast. I am joined here today with Pamela. How are you, Pamela?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming on. Now, look, Pamela, I've given the guys a bit of an introduction to you in the pre-intro here at the Hidden Why. But just tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're doing, where you are in the world, and your life.
Sure. So I'm based in New York City. I have two small children, 11 and 8. So part of my time is spent being mom. And then the other part of my time is spent on this kind of inner strength work that I'm so passionate about. So I spend a lot of time doing my own kind of self-study, writing, connecting with people that I can learn from and people that I can share my message with. And that's it in a nutshell. It's really cool. Simple.
Well, yeah. Look, I love that. I love that you're a mom and you're really supporting the family in that area as well as doing your own thing. Yeah. I think it's all very important. And you've just launched a new book recently, a couple of months ago, called Find More Strength, Five Pillars to Unlock Unlimited Power and Happiness. So I definitely want to delve into that a little bit more as well. But what got you into, you know, this whole area or interest, curiosity into finding more strength and power, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lifelong pursuit, really. From the time that I was little, I was always pretty fierce, pretty spirited, and looking to be the best me I could be and get what I wanted. You know, from the time that you're little, right, you just want to get your needs met and you want to, excel in all the ways that you want to excel as a little person. And, you know, as you go through life, you know, you learn on a deeper and deeper level how to be strong and how to get what you want in life. And, you know, when you're little, it's simple, right? You can try to, you know, manipulate people, or, you know, you can be a little bit more kind of strong-willed about it. And then as you get older, hopefully you realize that, you know, being gentle and being kind, having strong relationships is really much more what life's about on a deeper level. So as I went through life, you know, I matured and I had various challenges that made me go to a deeper understanding of what, you know, I wanted from life and what was important to me in life, and how skillful I needed to be happy and to feel empowered to get what I wanted out of my life. And so over the years, it's been kind of a consistent, you know, pursuit in the back of my mind as I was at different jobs, different life stages. And it's really all come together over the last few years when it's just become crystal clear that this inner strength is really the key to it all. It's the key to our greatest achievements. It's the key to our happiness.
I'm all about happiness. I think it's the goal for all of us. Whatever path we pursue to get there. And, you know, this deep happiness, not the happiness that's associated with our biological pleasure centers. But I'm interested in this unlimited power, finding greater strength and what that all means. I still want to get my head around it from your angle. So can you explain that a bit further? What is, you know, finding this strength that you talk about all about?
Yeah. So I think as you get to a deeper place of knowing who you are, and I'll speak for myself, right? The deeper that I know who I am and know what it is that I really want and what I want to achieve, I can be in a flow with life. And you can get to this place where you can be happy for no reason at all, where there's nothing outside of you that has the power to make you unhappy, you know, and even in the face of tragedy, right? And right, we're facing a lot of global tragedy right now. In the face of things not going the way you wanted them to go, having this inner strength, this inner light that is so bright that even in the face of whatever challenges you face, you still are in touch with this happiness. And it's really unlimited. It's from the inside out. And that in that same inner like happiness, inner light, also is what allows us to achieve our greatest potential and really unlock unlimited power, because it shifts. There's this shift where we stop, you know, wanting to control things just for ourself, you know, for our ego, and it kind of unlocks into this kind of bigger purpose, which is why I'm so excited to be on your podcast, The Hidden Why, because it really is all about that hidden why. Like, what is hidden in there that is bigger than ourselves, that is really what lights us up? And when you get in touch with that and you get in the flow with that, things just start to be really easy. Not easy in the sense that we think we want life to be easy, but easy in the sense that they can just flow and things kind of unlock. And you still have to work your butt off, right? You still have to work really hard. But there's this ease in it. And it's almost like things just start to fall into place in ways that really don't make a lot of rational sense. But it's pretty cool.
So is that the strength you're talking about then, really aligning yourself with what's important to your life, aligning yourself with what you desire? Because you talk about, you know what you want and going after it. So you find strength once you start living sort of more purposefully to who you are?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you get to a deeper place of understanding, right? So when we're less mature, when we're younger, we have a lot of you know, more shallow expectations or shallow understandings about what's important in life. You know, what people think of us, you know, all the external factors, how successful we are, how much money we're making, right? The external validations in life are really important to us. Yeah. And hopefully as we mature, we get to a deeper place of understanding that that's not the stuff that's really important, right? The stuff that's really important is how we feel about ourselves, you know, how we feel about our relationships. And so as you start to get to that deeper place, then this whole inner strength thing is, how do we handle whatever challenges life throws at us while staying kind of in this high, you know, light, joyful, powerful place, right? Like, we sometimes life throws something really heavy at us and it weighs us down. And the inner strength that I'm talking about is the strength to either stay up and or get back up, you know, keep getting back up fast when life knocks you down. And so it is part getting in alignment, you know, with what your deeper, you know, vision is. I like to use it, you know, to say that it's a vision as opposed to a desire, because desires I like to kind of define as more the, you know, the shallower wants that are based on this something not being enough. Like, I have this desire because what I currently have isn't enough. Mm. And that to me is a sign of opportunity, aka weakness, because our desires are shining a light on a way that we're not whole. There's something that we're thinking about our current being that isn't enough. And so I like to use kind of desire in that way. And on the positive side, I like to talk about having a vision, right? Like, you feel like you have this vision for the future, a vision for greatness, and you can connect with that and move towards that, but not like in the sense of having desires, if that makes any sense at all. I know it's semantics, but that's how I try to explain it.
I can see the difference there. Yeah. And you know, yeah, those I sort of refer to them as false desires, things that externally based, that sort of drive us in directions that perhaps aren't conducive to the direction we really wish to follow. And if that's, you know, a path towards happiness, then perhaps some of those things aren't quite worthwhile desires to pursue. So I get the whole
thing. Yeah, we end up lower.
yeah, absolutely. So understanding the self, I mean, is that what it's about? Understanding the self or understanding life more deeply, or a combination of both?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think a lot of us struggle because we're so stuck in our brains and we want to understand. Mm-hmm. Like, we have this, and I this is definitely where I was most of my life, wanting to understand, wanting to figure it out, seeking more understanding, kind of unlocking it all. Mm-hmm. But I think the answer really isn't in our brain. And if we're stuck in our brain, really trying to figure things out logically, we're going to get stuck there. Yeah. And I think a big part of, the answer for me, at least, and I think what most people need to try to shift towards, is getting out of our brain and being in our heart center, if that makes sense. Like, being more in our sense of being, kind of in the present moment, not thinking about the past, not thinking about the future, but really being in the present moment and feeling what feels right. Like, what lights us up? You know, does it light you up? Like, maybe you're meant to be a movie maker and it lights you up to create, you know, those kind of projects. You know, maybe you're meant to be a Lego sculptor. You know, like, you're the only person at the end of the day who can know what's right for you. And that answer isn't in our brain, because a lot of the stuff that really lights us up doesn't make any sense, right? Like, if we think about it externally, like, my favorite example is the guy who's the internationally renowned Lego sculptor. Mm. I mean, no one would have said that that made sense. Like, he was a lawyer. No one would have said, that's a great idea. Quit being a lawyer and be a Lego sculptor, right? Sculptor. But that's what his passion was, and it lit him up. And if he had listened to his brain or other people's brains, he probably wouldn't have done it. So I think that getting out of our head and getting into our heart, if you want to call it that, or into our kind of just presence, I think is a big, I think that's a big piece of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I love the idea of, you know, just mindfulness and awareness, to take us away from that focus on the future or the past, and to really put us into the present moment. It's difficult for many people to grasp that, including myself, really, how to connect with that heart sort of centered approach to life, and then how to, you know, courageously use that to direct our lives. We sort of often revert back to logic, you know, what makes sense, because logic is based on experience and
feels safer, for sure.
We're more certain about it. Where if we go after something that's just, it sounds like it might be good, and it feels good, so I'm just going to do it. You know, screw it, let's go. A lot of people struggle to do that. I'm sort of a bit more inclined to do that sort of thing. I don't know whether it's beneficial or not, but I certainly am enjoying my life, so that's probably a good sign. But you know, how do you help others overcome that challenge of, you know, firstly connecting to that heart center and then using it and approaching it?
Yeah, well, you know, in my book, I talk about five pillars because really all five pillars are integral to this. And one of the pillars that I talk about is courage, because obviously, as we just said, you can't go there unless you're brave, because there's a lot of surrender, which is another one of the pillars that has to happen, which if we are stuck in this fear cycle and listening to the fear, right? Because the fear is always going to be with us. The fear doesn't ever go away. At least it hasn't for me. And I don't know anyone who really lives a life without any fear at all.
Actually, I just read a book about a girl that had no fears, and there were science tests done on her. And yeah, she just had no fear. But anyway.
Interesting. Well, it's interesting. And evolutionarily, we know why fear is so good.
Yeah.
Keeps us alive. And I say that we need to respect the fear. I don't ever want anyone to ignore fear. Like, fear is always telling us something. But what I say in terms of being skillful around courage or skillful around fear is that we want to get as close to our fears as possible. And I'm talking about kind of our emotional, intellectual fears, right? If a dog is attacking you, I'm not saying get close to the dog. But what I'm saying is, when we start to feel afraid, when we start to feel fear, and we feel like it's pushing us in a certain direction, we want to get really close to it and skillfully see what it is that it's telling us. And is there an actual threat there? Or is it fear associated with maybe our ego, not being good enough, not being safe enough, but safe enough in a way that isn't real, right? Like, we create a lot of false parameters around safety. Like, we may say that we need to make a certain amount of money. We need to have a certain amount of, you know, security to feel good enough about, you know, day-to-day living. But that's, you know, a lot of that is manufactured. Like, our mind makes this stuff up. So one of the processes is kind of skillfully navigating your fear so you can be brave. But as you said before, you know, the mindfulness piece is key, because the way that I define mindfulness is paying attention to your attention. Because you're only paying attention if you're paying attention to your attention, if that makes any sense. Mm. And the thing is, most people really struggle with mindfulness. They struggle with the awareness of what it is that they're paying attention to. Most people are kind of on autopilot a lot of the time. And when we're on autopilot a lot of the time, we're not even aware when we're in a place of fear. We're not even aware when we're not being grateful. We're not even aware of that, right? Mm. So practicing mindfulness is integral to all of the five pillars, because if you're not practicing mindfulness, you won't even be aware of how you're feeling or how you're being, right? You're going to just be in this autopilot mode. So really, there's so many different ways to practice mindfulness. I mean, meditation is something that, you know, if you or any of your listeners do not have a meditation practice, you know, I'll say it again and again, that has been the biggest life change that I've had. And I was not a meditator by nature. The first couple of times I tried it, I was absolutely convinced that it was not for me. Mm. And I was like, this is hell. When is this going to be over? But it was over time. I actually was taught to teach meditation in yoga school, and I did little tiny blocks, just 1 minute, 2 minute blocks. And I definitely got the sense there was something to it. So practicing meditation will improve your mindfulness skills head and shoulders over any other kind of mindfulness practice. Like, you know, you can mindfully go on a walk. You can mindfully sip your tea. There's an infinite, literally, number of ways to practice mindfulness. Meditation is kind of an intensive, and that really is the most powerful way to practice mindfulness and start to have those skills as you go about your day-to-day life. Mm. So you can see if you're being afraid or if you're being brave. You can see if you're being grateful or if you're being, you know, entitled, feeling that like sense that things aren't good enough. I mean, that awareness is key to all of this.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's been one of the greatest things I've sort of practiced as well, just meditation and mindfulness.
Yeah.
Really helped me in you know, just everything, really. Focus, clarity, and just being more mm-hmm. present. And I think as it relates to fear, you know, I always think fear, as you said, you know, it's a really good signal for something for us to put our attention towards and not just sort of, you know, push to the back of our minds. And sometimes it can be a signal of something that we should approach and not necessarily mm-hmm. avoid, because in the modern mm-hmm. world, you know, it's pretty easy to survive when we've got food at all corners.
And lucky, you
know,
yes.
Survival's almost taken for granted these days. But certainly the fear is a good thing. And I think rather than, you know, avoiding it or pushing it away, you know, just being open and curious about the fear. And certainly in my experience, I like to be curious about my fear. And I've had some, you know, I've got some big decisions happening in life at the moment. And, you know, it's not bad or good or anything like that. But there is some fear associated with it. And, you know, I just have to be curious about why it exists, as you said, you know, you just jump into it and understand it. And that might then allow you to make more, you know, purposeful decisions.
Absolutely.
And use, you know, your intuition, I guess, to better follow the heart in life. What do you think it is about? Sorry, I've just got my words mixed up. What do you think? Why do you think people avoid sort of that internal interrogation? Because it is challenging, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, from the time that we're born, we're wired for this external focus, right? And our society is certainly geared towards the external, right? Like science, obviously, I'm a huge science person. I was a microbiology and biochemistry major at Yale, so I'm really into science, and that was how I was wired. I wanted to figure everything out by, you know, evidence-based research. And that's the way that our society these days is very external, very nuts and bolts. And that's how we are taught to flourish and to survive, right? And so when we start to encourage either the people around us or ourselves, maybe we come upon a teacher, then something resonates with us and we start to maybe feel like we should be looking a little bit more, or there's this opportunity to be looking more inside. It's not something that most of us have much experience with. And now for me, when I was a little child, I remember before I would fall asleep at night, I would feel this openness and this internal space. And I would ask people about it. I would be like, you know, before you go to sleep, like when you kind of like are right before you fall asleep, you can kind of feel like you're flying all around. There's all this space inside. And people would be like, what? Like what? So I stopped talking about it. But now I'm bravely sharing it because more and more people are like, oh yeah, I kind of know what you mean. Because maybe when you meditate too, it's something that you've experienced, that there is this inner space. Like it's in there. We just weren't ever taught to look. Like, and one of my favorite analogies too is like in my bedroom, I have a telescope and I have a microscope, because that analogy that there's, you know, infinite outer space and then there's infinite kind of inner space or smaller space, right? Mm-hmm. So we can look outside of ourselves infinitely and we look inside of ourselves infinitely. Mm-hmm. And there really is infinite space in there. It's just, that's not how being human, you know, works, right? Like we are wired to be on this external interaction so we can procreate and we can survive and we can evolve and all that. But there is this inner space, which is equally dynamic and equally powerful and equally exciting and wonderful to explore, which I know sounds crazy if it's not something you've ever done. It's kind of like going spelunking, you know, like going in caves and like what's in there. But the cool thing about it is, you know, there's so much space in there, which, you know, most of us as human beings, we freak out when we feel trapped, right? Like when we feel like something isn't okay, but we don't see a way out of it. Mm. That's when we tend to freak out, whether it's in relationships. Yeah. Where it's like, this isn't okay. And I don't see a path to make it better. And we freak out. Mm. And the cool thing about, you know, learning to look inside of ourselves and start to do this kind of inner space exploration, as funny as it sounds, is that it gives us this openness where we don't feel so much pressure. We don't feel trapped. We don't feel like there's this, you know, immediacy or sense of urgency, like in a relationship or a decision, because externally we may feel like we have to change it right now. We feel so pressured and trapped. But if we take some time to go inside, whether it's meditation, whether it's taking a few breaths, it loosens up that pressure and it enables us to figure out how to maneuver with grace in the external world. Mm. So, I mean, I think it's just that we're not taught to do it, unless maybe we were raised in a spiritual family, which I really wasn't. You know, if my parents had been meditators, but they weren't. You know, I think most people aren't taught to look there. You know, it's like, oh, look under the bed. There might be something under there. You know, we're just not taught to go there.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's, yeah, certainly one reason why perhaps we, you know, don't go there, first of all, but even when we get there, we don't know what to do, so we avoid it. Again, it's probably something to do with, you know, just being uncomfortable about that situation.
Well, the fear, right? Yeah, the unknown. It's like, well, what am I going to find? If I do get to know myself better or look inside of myself and start to see, you know, the parts of myself that maybe I'm not as aware of, you know, they call it the shadow. Mm. You know, the shadow isn't bad. It's not nefarious. It's just unknown. And our brain is wired to fear the unknown. But again, what we were just talking about, you know, getting closer to our fears and being open and curious, like, well, what's in there? I mean, this could be really good, right? Like it could be. And what's the worst you're going to find? You know, that, oh, you do have some more trauma about your childhood that you didn't know, you know, okay. It'll be worse things.
Yeah. It's okay. It's okay to, you know, see that. But I sort of feel that the awareness piece, and it's something that I've sort of been thinking about a bit, when you become more aware of these internal you know, whatever's inside of you, you sort of...
I like to say flow. I like to say this internal flow, because you can feel like the energy flow. You can feel when you're high, like when your spirits are high, when you're happy, you feel yourself up. And then like when you're sad or you're feeling shame or guilt, you can feel yourself low, right? Like, does that resonate?
Yeah.
Like feeling high or feeling low?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I've never felt better in my life, to be honest, in the last couple of months. And one of the reasons is because of my meditation practice.
Great.
But I think, you know, when we have this deeper self-awareness through some sort of mindfulness practice or through just being more aware, it brings up things in our lives that perhaps we're fearful of approaching, because once we are knowledgeable of it, once we have knowledge, it's hard to avoid it. And that discrepancy about what we can now see in our lives or what we can see internally that is not actually existing externally or not, you know, we're not being integral with, it brings up this friction. And I think that friction is what a lot of us don't want to do, because it's effort, you know, it's challenging ourselves. And I think that is part of the struggle. But
absolutely.
That is also the, for me, how good positive change comes about.
Totally. Like everything we want is on the other side of that pain, right? Mm. All of the good stuff. And that's what's blocking us, you know, from being in alignment with our kind of higher purpose and our deeper, you know, more, you know, intimate relationships, like all of those kind of subconscious fears, subconscious pain that we don't want to go near. That's exactly what's blocking us from making everything magical in our lives, truly.
We want to go for the easier path.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if you're in a job that you really don't like and you sort of create this awareness and you start thinking, well, actually, you know what, it isn't really what I would like. I'd much rather be doing this. Then suddenly you've got that choice that you have to make. You have to start fighting these battles and saying, well, what do? Do I just keep acknowledging this exists and just ignoring it and allowing that pain to exist? Or do I start doing something about it and, you know, and seeing what might happen and, you know, being courageous enough to follow that? And I think that's the fear of awareness.
Scary. That is scary. Are you going to live a big life, or are you going to, you know, play it safe and keep it small? You know, that's the question.
I think a lot of us, you know, we stop being purposeful in life. And that's pretty sad. That's what I, you know, certainly don't want for myself, and I don't want that for other people. Part of the reason why this show exists. So interesting stuff. I've recently been practicing twice a day. I don't know what your mindfulness practice might be, but meditating, and you know, it is difficult. Like I sit there sometimes and just go, man, I just can't stop the mind.
And that's okay. You know, that's okay, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoy it. And at the same time, I've been having these deeper sort of, as going back to what you were saying about that inner space, these deeper connections with that inner space where it's just a weird feeling. It really is a weird, intensely great sort of feeling where you just sort of go, holy, like everything just shuts off. Like there is no self, there is no external mind chitter chatter, all this sort of stuff going on. It's just sort of this space that you get lost in, even if it's like just momentary. And that's
powerful. Don't stop. I'll just tell you, don't stop, because it just gets better and better.
Yeah, well,
it's better and better. How long have you been meditating?
For a few years, I guess. Nothing too consistent until recently, really. Uh-huh. But I heard a lot about it when I started jumping into personal development, and thought, oh, I'll give it a go. And I sat on my floor and tried to meditate.
Awesome.
And
awesome. Well, I think a lot of people don't, you know, have or don't realize that when you're trying to start a meditation practice, you know, you're not trying to get your mind to stop. You're just trying to keep your attention. Like you're working the attention muscle. Like the mind stopping or slowing down or quieting, that's a side effect that comes with time. And I think that there's a misconception. I know for me too, when I first started meditating, I thought that I was trying to get my mind to stop.
Yeah, me too.
And that effort isn't actually what you're trying to do. You're trying to just stay focused. And the side effect of that practice of staying focused is that your mind will quiet down. I always like to say it's like a dog you're feeding table scraps to at the table. Like when you suddenly stop feeding the dog table scraps, he's not going to stop, you know, trying and begging and jumping up and down. But over time, if you don't feed him table scraps, like over the next week, over the next month, he'll chill out eventually. That's how our mind is.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. And that's the thing that people have to get there. Sort of head around is just to give it a go and to understand that that's not the case. And You know, just be more curious about it. I guess that's probably one of the lessons I learned, is just be curious about the practice.
Absolutely.
And look, like anything, I think like most of the practice, I think once you find something that benefits you, you convince yourself that maybe there's something good in it, and you keep going with it. If there's not, then you'll likely stop. For me, it was, you know, probably like yourself. It's one thing that I started doing, and there was something there. I didn't know what, but there was something there that obviously kept me going. Just the same as getting up early to do some exercise. That seems to work for me. And the people I speak to. So,
me too.
Hey, look, we've talked about a few of the pillars. What are the five pillars that you talk about to unlocking unlimited power and happiness?
Yeah, so there's the first one is gratitude, which I don't think anyone would really argue, you know, that gratitude is great. But gratitude is tricky. It's hard, you know, to stay in a place of gratitude. So practicing gratitude, even, you know, practice all the time when it's easy. So when it's hard, you have that muscle memory and you go to that place of being grateful, even though, you know, something unexpected, unpleasant, painful has happened. So that's kind of the chapter on gratitude is more about kind of walking you through the challenges. Because I think we all hopefully experience on some level how powerful gratitude is, that if we stay in a place of gratitude, it grounds us. I always like to say it's kind of like X marks the spot for abundance. It's like there's something about staying grateful that keeps us in alignment for good things to happen, like just for abundance to flow. And I think we probably all experience on some level how good it feels to be grateful, and that there's just something, there's a positive flow that is surrounding us when we're in a place of gratitude. Yeah. So that's the first one. The second one is compassion.
Yeah.
Love. Right? Staying in a place of self-compassion and compassion to, you know, everything around us. There is a power in that as we practice and get better and better at that, even when it's hard, right? Again, you practice when it's easy. So when it's hard, you have that kind of muscle memory and can get to that place, that open-heartedness. And with all these pillars, if you're stuck, like if you're really struggling to be compassionate, if you practice gratitude, if you practice courage, it'll help unlock compassion. So all of the pillars support each other.
Yeah.
So if you're stuck on one, be like, all right, I'm really struggling with gratitude right now. I'm going to move on to compassion. Or the next one is courage. We talked about courage a bit already. Then the fourth pillar is surrender, which for me has been the hardest one to really get my head around, get my heart around, and practice and become skillful in practicing. And it is integral. You know, if we're not surrendering to the things that are out of our control, surrendering to some bigger force, and I don't care what you think it is, but if you look around planet Earth, you can see such bigger forces at work, you know, bigger than us, right? Like what's making the sun, you know, set and rise? What makes the seeds grow in the spring? Like all the things, like, you know, I don't care what you really like believe it to be, but there is something bigger than us and things are out of our control. And we need to practice surrendering in those moments when things are not going the way that our brain thought we wanted them to go. And we can't see how this is good, right? Like in that moment, you're like, there's no way this is good. But we have to just surrender, like, well, it's happening, so let's see what happens next. You know, like after the storm, there's always a rainbow, right? Like that kind of mentality of this is not what I planned, this is not what I wanted, and here it is. I'm going to accept it, and I'm going to figure out how to surrender to this being what's going on, and then figure out what my next best move is. But if we stay in that fight mode, not surrendering, we're going to waste all this energy, and we're going to miss the next best move.
Yeah.
And that was hard for me. That was not how my brain was wired. I was not going to surrender. So this was the hardest of all the pillars.
It brings tears to my eyes almost. Just that thought of letting go, because that really, I mean, I can resonate with that so deeply. Just letting go and just appreciating, you know, the moment for the moment and what is, you know, without having control over everything. And man, things become just really pleasant. And I've certainly found that surrender, and that's come through mindfulness. Just being able to surrender is just been a beautiful change in my life.
Yeah. And it's hard. It is that to me. And I don't know if it's the way that I'm wired or if it's just, you know, everyone, but, it was definitely the hardest for me.
I think it's just people that, you know, want control and want to, you know, create the life that they want. I think that's natural.
So then the fifth one, we've already talked about it a lot, openness and curiosity, you know, staying open to what comes next, that we can't know. We can't ever know everything about a situation. We can't know what's going to happen next. So that openness and curiosity, you know, being an investigator, like trying to not be in this judgmental place where we think that something's right or wrong, good or bad, you know, staying open and curious. I like to say kind of assess versus judge, or, you know, staying in an investigator mode where you're really just looking for more and more information, staying open to how things may be different than you may think that they are. And that is absolutely integral to unlocking unlimited power and happiness.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I think, you know, being open and curious about everything and not just holding on to what you believe and what your opinions are. And I think it's just, it's a great way to progress in life. And certainly it allows great change in life. And as you said, it's the power and happiness. And certainly, you know, if I was closed off, I wouldn't be here where I am today doing what I'm doing. And that's because I don't mind other ideas and opinions, and I don't agree with all of them that I come across, but certainly it allows me to just make better decisions, be more purposeful in my patent life.
Yeah, and leaning into being wrong, right? Like, of course, it doesn't feel good to be wrong, but that's how we learn. That's how we grow. Mm. So like leaning into that is really powerful. Really, and it's hard, but it's powerful to kind of shift gears to being like, no, all right, I might be wrong. That's cool. All right, that means I learned something. All right.
Yeah, I think it's a good process. It's a healthy process to have. I want to just jump back to compassion for a second. What is compassion?
Sure. So you could say that compassion is love. Uh-huh. You could say that compassion is caring. Compassion is a state of being as opposed to action. And that's, I think, one of the things that's confusing, to navigate, because, acts of kindness can be compassion. But there are times when the compassionate thing is actually to not act, right? To not enable. So it's, again, one of these things that by learning or getting tuned in to our inner state, we can feel whether we're open-hearted and compassionate. And we can feel when we're close-hearted and not. And sometimes we can act kindly, but we're not doing it from a place of compassion. So it's confusing from an intellectual standpoint, because people like to say, well, if this happens, then what would the compassionate thing be to do? I'm like, well, it totally depends. Like in that moment, you kind of have to feel what feels right, right? And then that, that's hard for people, right, that are really stuck in the logical kind of place. But pity is a good example of that, because if we're pitying someone, that's a judgment that we're kind of feeling sorry for someone, that there's this judgment of, an inequality, right? So that's pity, and pity is actually judgment and it's not compassion. And so that's kind of one example that I think some people can feel the difference. You can feel how pity feels versus when you're kind of open-hearted and feeling equal to someone and you're kind of standing with them as opposed to looking down at them, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So you can sort of connect with the other's suffering.
Yeah, like stand shoulder to shoulder. Yeah, open-hearted love. And that feels open. And you're caring about other people's well-being or the everything's well-being when you're in a place of compassion. Even in the face of horrible behavior, right? Like toxic, destructive behavior, to stay compassionate, which doesn't mean that you don't hold people accountable. It doesn't mean that you enable, right? Like being compassionate doesn't mean that you don't have healthy boundaries. Like when you're compassionate, you still have very strong, healthy boundaries. And that's tricky. Most people don't have a good sense of that kind of thing. Like, well, if I'm compassionate, everyone's just going to take advantage of me and walk all over me. But that's actually not the case, because true compassion is this very kind of strong openness that is accompanied by very strong boundaries. And you kind of have this inner sense of, you know, how to maneuver those. And it's in the moment. And it's not the kind of thing that I can say, well, if X happens, then you do Y. It's really about kind of being in the present moment and feeling what, feels right at that moment, which again, I know doesn't really make a lot of logical sense, but that's kind of what it is.
Compassion is usually something that we exert externally towards others or other things. When you talk about internal compassion or self-compassion, is it just a reverse of that? So just having compassion for your own suffering and awareness of that, or?
Yeah, I mean it's care, right? So it's self-care. So I put all the, you know, meditation, exercise, healthy food, sleep. I put all that under self-care and self-compassion. You know, treating ourselves with kind of the foundational behaviors that we need to be healthy. So I put that under self-compassion. Mm. And then yes, you know, the gentleness. There's a behavioral skill called, or it's, the acronym is GIVE, G-I-V-E, and it's a great interpersonal effectiveness skill, but it's also great for yourself. And the G stands for gentle, the I stands for interested, the V stands for validating, and the E stands for easy. And so using those skills on yourself, like being gentle with yourself, being interested in yourself, again, this sounds like silly, but it actually is really powerful. So being interested, like, how am I feeling? Like, because sometimes we have all these like knots of feelings and we don't even know what the heck's going on in there. Mm. And being interested, be like, what is going on? Like, I'm feeling pretty heavy and low. Like, what's going on in there? Being interested and like kind of getting in there. And then being validating, because so often we're so hard on ourselves when we have any kind of negative emotion. Mm. And I was so guilty of this for many, many years, because I would look at my life and my life is so good. You know, how could I not be grateful? How could I not be happy? And I would get angry at myself for feeling down, feeling blue, instead of being validating that, hey, you know, you're feeling that way and that's okay. Like, I can understand, you know, why you're feeling that way. Like, it's okay to feel that way. And then go from there. And that's validation. And that's a really important skill for ourselves and in our other, you know, our external relationships. Mm. Then being easy on ourselves, right? Like, being easy on ourselves. Yes, holding ourselves to high standards. But at the same time, when we are imperfect, aka we had a growing moment as opposed to a glowing moment, right? We're going to have all of these imperfections because that's how we grow. And when those happen, we want to be easy on ourselves and we want to cheer ourselves on. Like, you put in your best effort. You know, tomorrow's another day. Get back up at the plate. You know, you're not always going to hit a home run. Sometimes you're going to strike out, and that's how you're learning, right? That's the kind of support we want to give ourselves with this self-compassion. And most of us, you know, struggle with that.
Mm. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, as you said, having those high standards and really, you know, being involved in the process, taking ownership for the process. But, you know, letting go of those, you know, as you said before, surrendering to what's outside your control.
Yeah. And embracing every challenge as an opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. Like, every challenge is an opportunity for us to grow. Yeah. And having that mindset is huge, because then when things go wrong, like, yay, okay, I'm growing. Like, opportunity, use my skills, get more skillful. Yay. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's true. That's what's really happening. And as a parent, I'm sure you've started to, like, you know, do this with your own children to help them be as successful in their challenge, be as resilient. You know, these are things that we want to teach our children to do. And this is what we want to help ourselves do too.
Yeah. Actually, I'm fortunate. I get to interview some great people like yourself, and people that are experts at parenting as well. And I just learn so much from them that allows me to better understand parenting. And certainly I'm lucky to have a wife that is very good at how she raises the kids. So,
yeah. Awesome.
It's cool stuff. Look, I love our conversation. I've just really enjoyed it. And certainly the pillars of unlocking power and happiness, I think, are valuable to anyone. So I want to encourage the listeners to get a copy of your book, have a read, and certainly check out your other work. So I'll stick the link to your website, Pamela.
Thank you.
In the show notes. I think you've got a page set up for us, don't you?
Yeah, I think they set up a welcome page. So it's goldevolution.com, and then it's, I guess, Hidden Why.
Hidden Why, yeah.
Yeah.
So goldevolution.com/hiddenwhy. So I'll stick that in the show notes, plus your book, so awesome. People can check it out.
Thank you. Thanks.
I've got some questions I want to wrap things up with.
Yeah,
these are the sort of quick round questions. What are your routines or rituals that you believe contribute to your success?
First thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I meditate. I have a daily Kriya meditation practice. And then every day I exercise. And those are my two kind of fundamental what I do for myself. Meditation.
What daily meditation?
Kriya, K-R-I-Y-A. It's a certain type of meditation. You can Google it and learn more. But that's, I started doing that about 3 years ago now, or 2.5 years ago. And that has been a big shift to go a lot deeper. And it's been pretty good.
Kriya meditation.
Kriya? It's my path.
Kriya?
Kriya, K-R-I-Y-A. Kriya. Yeah.
kriya. So what, just give us a little snapshot. What's kriya meditation? What's the difference?
Well, you know, there's specific techniques that are handed down this lineage in India, and you need to have a teacher kind of, you know, teach them to you. So it's kind of honoring the tradition, but it's really simple, some basic asanas, some basic mudras, just watching your breath, you know, following the chakras. It's nothing that is really out there. It's just, there's something about the techniques that just take you deep fast. Okay.
Is it just self meditation then, other than the
teacher? Yeah, once you kind of learn from a teacher, then you just do it on your own.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What advice would you give your 20-year-old self?
Don't think so much. You know, spend more time in the space between your thoughts, right? Like, be present and just get out of your head. Just be in the moment more.
Okay, good advice. What is your meaning of success?
Well, showing up kind of in each moment with love, right? Like, being present and full of love and being of service in however way I can. And I know the results will come, you know, like, if I am wherever I am, there's always work to be done. And if I'm filled with love, I'll do that work with like the best of intentions and the best effort. So that to me is my really simple definition of success these days.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And do you have a piece of productivity advice for the audience?
Meditate. Just practice that, and then the rest of your day, you will be infinitely more productive.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have any advice for someone looking to make some change?
Well, again, if you haven't established a meditation practice, do that. And if that's something that isn't coming to you, you know, take some time to try to find a teacher that you resonate with. Like, find someone that can help you establish a practice, because it really is that life-changing.
Yeah, cool. What's your favorite food?
I love smoothies, like protein smoothies with a lot of leafy greens and some fruit, almond milk, pretty much every day. And I really love them. Chia, flax, throw it all in there. Yeah.
What's your favorite?
I make my own, though.
Oh, it's just, anyway.
I'll, yeah, no, I know, it's big. Yeah. I love yoga, but I also love stand-up paddle boarding. So I love getting out on the water, and it's quiet and just go anywhere you want to go. I love that.
I could see you as I can see your picture here. I could see you as a stand-up paddleboarder, to be honest.
Yeah, it's right up my alley. I love it.
What's your favorite book?
The Little Prince. It will always be my favorite book.
The Little Prince.
Yeah.
What's that about? Who's that boy?
Oh, you don't know The Little Prince?
No.
Okay, well, you have two little girls, so it's kind of a must get and a must read. I can never say it's a French author who was a pilot who passed away. And I can never say, my French is not as terrible, so I can't pronounce his name right. But it's a story about a pilot who is like in the desert, and then he kind of stumbles upon this little prince, and he's no idea why he's there. And it's this very like beautiful, spiritual, empowering book. And it is just, you have to read it. It's beautiful.
Put it on my list.
Yeah, it's, and you'll read it to your kids, and it'll be great. Yeah, and cool. And you'll probably cry at the end.
I will too.
Or at least I cry at the end. I'm a crier.
Yeah, me too. Which is really embarrassing, actually, because my wife isn't.
No, it's good. It's good. Crying is good. Leaning into the tears is good.
Well, I cried in a ridiculous movie the other week. Anyway. Cool. What is your favorite quote?
A strong spirit will break all rules. Prince said that, and I think that is spot on.
A strong spirit will break all rules. Yeah, I
like it. Yep.
And do you believe we all have a why, a reason, a purpose?
Well, I think that whether we are aware of it or not, connected to it or not, but I think love is the base of all of our why, and then it manifests in different ways. So I think that all of us, yes, we do have a why, and it is love, but it obviously manifests in different ways. And then it's just whether we're connected to it or not.
I guess it depends on our awareness and how we're connected to it to how well it manifests.
Yeah.
And
it's all okay, right? It's all okay.
Yeah. What does living life with passion and purpose mean?
For me, it means love and being connected to something bigger than myself. And so as long as I feel that connection and that flow of love, then that is, you know, living a life with passion and purpose.
Yeah, cool. Okay, look, I want to just thank you again, Pamela, for coming on the show. Again, guys, check out Pamela. I'll stick her website and the link into the show notes, goldevolution.com/hiddenwhy for the page that they've set up for us here. So check that out. And congratulations, Pamela, on the book as well. I hope the rest of the launch goes well for you.
Thanks so much. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So, guys, check it all out. Pamela, thank you. Have a nice day. It's been a beautiful conversation. I've really enjoyed
it. Same. Thanks. Hopefully we'll keep in touch. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. And guys, check out thehiddenwhy.com. All the links and show notes will be there. And until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon. Guys, I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Please reach out to me if you have any questions, thoughts, or feedback for the show as well. I would love to hear from you. Guys, this show is sponsored by MotionWrapped.com. If you have a brand, a business, product, event, or creative independent work that you want to promote, but you have a tight budget to do it, then MotionWrapped.com might be your solution. MotionWrapped specializes in video and motion graphics, graphic design, social marketing for independent creatives and entrepreneurs. They can cover all your product or brand's foundational needs, whether it be a logo design, a complete brand identity, the promotion of a product or event, images and videos for social media, or promotional assets via print and video. And best of all, they strategically tailor the development process to suit your budget and to suit your needs. Just because something is cheap and simple doesn't mean it still can't have great effect. And that's certainly the work that MotionWrapped does. If you'd like more information on developing an effective promotional marketing strategy for your startup or independent creative work, visit www.motionwrapped.com and discuss what can be done. That's www.motionwrapped.com. We are also sponsored by Global Office Assistance, a great outsourcing solution. So if you're, again, an entrepreneur, a creative, independent, looking to free up some of your time and outsource or delegate out a lot of those admin tasks, those systems and processes you have in place that just chew up a lot of your time that you don't necessarily need to be doing, virtual assistants are a great way to do that. I've just written a book about this as well, called Delegate to Freedom. So if you're interested, I'm happy to send you a copy for free. Just email me at thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. But more importantly, if you're interested or have thought about hiring someone to help you in your business, virtual assistants are a very affordable way to do that. Our team is based in the Philippines, so you can get a great assistant for a very affordable price, and their work quality is just as good as anyone else that you could otherwise hire. So check it out, globaloffice.com. That's globaloffice.com. You can set up a time to consult with them and they can discuss your needs further and see if it's a fit for you. Guys, that's it from me here at The Hidden Why. I hope you enjoy your day. I hope you enjoy your week. And until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. We'll see you soon.